It's showtime.
Hey, welcome to Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? My name is Jake Scheidel. This is a podcast about reality television and friendship in which I ask my best friend, Thomas Powell, if he did indeed watch a certain reality show. Hey, Thomas, how you doing on this last day of the year of our Lord 2017?
Get ready to hum Auld Lang Syne, because the person that knows the words is hard to find. It's New Year's Eve, baby. We're about to hit year number 18 of the millennium, and I am excited.
Are we, or is it year 19?
I don't care.
Well, the millennium starts in 2000, I would assume. That's year one.
Yeah, you know, I mean, on the one hand, you could correct me, or on the other hand, you could not be a pedant.
Well, I'm just saying, I think Will Smith, star of Bright, now playing on Netflix, wants you to be correct about which millennium we're in.
You know what? You know what I have to say to that? Swallow your pride, don't let your lip react. You don't want to see my hand where my hip be at.
Okay. So, do you have any plans for the coming year? Do you feel like this year was a success? And a third question.
I'm just assuming I'm going to die at some point in 2018, I'm just readying myself for that.
To be honest,
any number of ways.
I'm expecting myself to die in 2017. So.
Oh, damn. All right. Well, it's been real.
Yeah. It's the last episode of the podcast.
Well, you have an hour longer than I do to accomplish that, so.
Yeah. Well, don't you worry about it. It'll happen. You'll have to find a new co-host. I realized while writing up the notes for this episode that we started this year watching a movie and we are ending the year watching a movie for this show.
Did we watch The Running Man at the beginning of 2017?
We watched The Running Man because it's set in 2017. So a few hours from now, that'll be set in the past. It's like when we passed 2015 and it was all the Back to the Future films are in the past now.
Like yeah, science fiction will have become science fact.
Mm-hmm. I'm honestly surprised that that movie didn't come into reality. If anyone was going to from that era, I feel like it would have been that one. It's so close. We're so close.
Yeah, we're not very far off, that's for sure.
But that's not the movie we
watched. The thing that they got wrong is that Richard Dawson's character would have been elected president.
Oh, God. Yeah, I suppose he would have. Well, yeah, because he's kind of, and this is a conversation we had almost an entire year ago now, he kind of was in charge of the whole world, or at least America, with that show. Like the
everything did
show.
Seem to kind of center around the show.
Yeah. Because, like, even the people, like, there were those people betting on the show who, like, I think were homeless people, but then were, like, betting a lot of money. There's a lot of details on that movie that I don't quite understand. But, I mean, we could watch it again.
I would much rather have watched it again instead of the movie we did watch.
Okay, Thomas. Well, here's my question for you for this week. Triple H is over. It's no longer time to play the game. Ghost Island.
Triple H has gone over.
Finally.
We're buried for the rest of the year.
Ghost Island has yet to start, so my question for you this week is, did you watch Santa's Little Helper last night?
Awesome! I came to play!
There's a price to pay! I did. I did watch it. The thing is, I didn't realize. I got this confused with, not in, like, plot or anything, but with the other Miz Christmas movie that he did for, like, ABC Family. Like, I thought this was a made... I thought this was a made-for-TV movie, but this was, like...
This was a made-for-WWE
movie. This was a WWE film. You know what's insane, by the way? That the network doesn't have WWE films available to stream on it.
I would have assumed that it would.
You would think they would have it there, right?
Because,
like, where else?
Content and streaming and how companies work in the year of our Lord 2017... But no, apparently not. Why is that? That's so strange.
I don't know. It would make things so much easier for whenever I want to watch, like, The Marine 10, but... Which is never, but, you know.
I was looking for it. Like, I was looking for a place I could find it, because I originally saw it at a 7-Eleven near my work, and I was like, oh, we need to watch this. As soon as Triple H is over, we're watching.
Of course it would be. They probably have, like, an exclusive deal with, like,
how much do you
corner,
think
with corner stores in order to have it on DVD shelves.
How much do you think that DVD cost at 7-Eleven?
I bet they don't even have it on Blu-ray either. I bet they only produce this on DVD.
Yeah, the Wikipedia, I think, is said made for DVD or straight to DVD, whatever. Which I don't know if that term encompasses Blu-ray also, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was just DVD. How much do you think it costs at 7-Eleven?
I'm going to say $5.
$4.99, buddy.
Yep, so, that's the most I would be willing to pay for it, so they did that well. That's what you got to do with your margins.
Yeah, so I should have bought it then and there, and then I wouldn't have to be worrying about where to find it. So I just Googled the movie, and I was like, where can I watch this? Google. And one of the links was WWE Network, and I was like, oh, well, that makes sense. Should I subscribe to WWE Network just to watch this movie? And then I clicked on the link, thinking it would take me directly to the video of the movie, and then be like, you have to pay $10 or whatever it is. And then I would have to argue with myself if I should do that or not. But then it just took me to a preview for some other WWE thing. Why did this pop up on Google?
I don't know, man.
Anyway, Santa's Little Helper is a movie from 2015 starring The Miz, the most watchable WWE superstar or whatever is...
The most must-see superstar.
Must-see, yeah, that's it. And Paige, also WWE superstar, as well as
The most married to Alberto Del Rio superstar of all time.
Oh, she's married to Alberto Del Rio?
I don't know if they're still... I think they're still married.
I thought she was married to somebody else.
No, they had, like, a... There was, like, a domestic violence incident, and I don't remember if they separated or not.
Oh, did he run her over with a car like he did Santa?
Yeah, he did, because he hates Christmas. He saw it, she was wearing her costume from this movie.
He was like, and, oh no, you know
yeah,
what I have to do.
Yeah, it triggered his bloodlust.
He just hates Santa for whatever reason. Also starring in this movie is Annalyn McCord, who is, you might know, a person.
Yeah, I looked up, she was on, like, one of the revived, like, 90210s. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
she was on that, and she was in something else.
Similar to that. Yeah, this movie.
Wasn't she in, she was in, like, Nip Tuck, wasn't she?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. It was, this movie, Santa's Little Helper, was directed by Gil Younger. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Do you know what else he has directed?
I'm going to say that he directed The Christmas Bounty, the other Miz Christmas movie.
I don't know if that's true or not. I don't think it is. I'll give you a hint. This is a movie you definitely have heard of and have most likely seen.
Oh my god.
It is a well-received movie.
Is it a comedy?
It is a teen comedy.
Teen.
Mm-hmm.
What if he directed Mean Girls?
It was before Mean Girls.
Wow, okay.
It's like a staple of teen movies from that era. It's like one
is it
of
like,
the best ones.
Is it like 10 Things I Hate About You?
Sorry, say that again?
10 Things I Hate About You?
That is indeed a movie he directed.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie's pretty good. That's
and
crazy.
I would say that Santa's Little Helper was on par with that one.
Yeah, yeah, definitely in the same ballpark. Jeez.
Yeah, that's like the only movie that is of note that he has done. Unless I'm forgetting something, but I don't think I am. I looked at his filmography and...
Well, that and Christmas Bounty, but...
Well, of course. Christmas Bounty, we're watching next week.
Thomas,
can we start a new tradition? We only watch the Miz movies after Christmas. Every episode from here on out that happens
just Miz
after
movies.
Christmas is Miz movies. Christmas movies.
I have to say, like, if this movie had been made, like, a year or two later, Alexa Bliss definitely would have been in the page role, right?
I think if Alexa Bliss were on the roster when this movie came out...
I think she was. I just don't think she was a big deal yet. I think she was still in NXT.
Okay, yeah, they wouldn't cast her then. I think she would have been the Annalyn McCord character.
The thing is, no, she's better at being bratty. Like, I think she would have been the rival.
But I'm thinking solely that she would be that character because they're both blonde.
Yeah, there we go.
But I was surprised that they cast Annalyn McCord because she's not a WWE superstar, and you know they love to clog those movies with those people.
They do. It was nice. You could really tell the difference between someone who, like, has acting experience and like someone who doesn't. The Miz. Paige wasn't, like, horrible, but, like, Annalyn McCord, it was just like, oh, yeah, this is a person that does this for a living.
Yeah. And even she is not, like, a great actress.
No, she's just, like, competent.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that's maybe why why Paige had 3 scenes?
Yeah, probably that.
And one of which was her going over a ropes course. Okay, do you want to get into the plot of this amazing
movie? I'm just
mad
that they didn't have her hit, like, a cradle DDT on Annalyn McCord.
That would have been so good. I kept thinking... Okay, yeah, let's talk more about that once we get to that scene.
We did have a WWE, another WWE women/divas champion physically assault someone in this movie. I don't know why Paige couldn't have.
Who did that?
That would be Maryse.
Oh, yeah. I forgot she was in this, yeah. Okay, so...
She had a cameo.
It was a cameo. She's also, like, the fourth billed person in this movie. I think she's billed above Santa Claus.
I mean, it was... I kind of expected her to see her... Or I kind of expected to see her, honestly, because her and, you know, her and the Miz are married.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, he was like, hey, honey, you want to come in for a day of filming? It'll be fun. You get to punch me in the face.
She was like, sounds good to me. But before that happens, the Miz meets a man dressed as Santa Claus outside a youth center, and Santa asks him if he's on the nice list or the naughty list, and the Miz says, do you remember what he said?
He says, I'm going to be on the rich list.
Yep.
This was after he parked in a handicap spot, and then Santa was like, hey, that's a handicap spot, and he goes, oh, thanks, and then puts a handicap thing up. That he had ready to go.
Right. You see, he's an asshole.
He is the handicap of not having any Christmas spirit.
Yeah, that's what plagues him. So he goes inside and tells them that he's going to tear down the youth center because they're late on rent, I think. It was very sloppy exposition.
Yeah, he's really hamming it up when he's being an asshole in this movie.
He definitely is. But I think it works. I think the Miz is a great actor.
The Miz is fun in this, movie that is very devoid of fun for the most part.
Ooh, I would disagree with that. I think it's a very fun movie. I think every part of it is incredibly fun. So, mostly because... The Miz is the
It would have been more fun if there were, like, actual jokes in it.
I'm sorry. Do you remember the great Rich List joke and the other great I'm actually handicapped joke?
Yes, of course.
Those are two prime jokes.
We haven't even gotten to the fucking jokiest character in this movie yet.
Oh, God. Okay, yeah. So the teacher argues with the Miz and is like, what if... No, and then he's like, but actually, yes. And then one of the students speaks up, and the Miz says, life is full of disappointment. Get used to it.
It's a good line. Good line. That they only say once in this movie. I like that the kid that was, like, mad at him was a really bad actor.
Yeah.
I noted that because I was very annoyed by him, but I did like that the Miz was, like, they were like, but it's Christmas, and his response was, yeah, you might want to take down all these... decorations. You know, I feel like they give everybody a little bit of false hope. I was like,
yeah, that was a good line. Yeah, this is a really funny movie.
Humbug.
So outside, he looks at a bench in front of the youth center, and his name is carved into the bench. Dax.
I took that to mean that Dax Shepard was there in 1998.
And they kept teasing us.
He was like, one day I'll be unpunked.
They kept teasing us.
One day I'll marry Kristen Bell.
We all have that wish, Dax. I was really hoping for a Dax Shepard cameo. I love Dax Shepard. What if in the flesh?
Dax Shepard's good.
Dax Shepard is
Young Miz good. Was played by Dax Shepard.
Young Miz is Dax Shepard. I don't think there's any disagreement there.
I'm excited for Young Miz on CBS.
But still played by Dax Shepard. He's like, Parenthood ended. I need a new project. I need a new character I can really delve into.
I'm bored. Kristen wants me out of the house.
She's got a network sitcom. I need my own network sitcom now.
Yeah. Actually, we just need some... We need some sitcom time alone.
What is Dax Shepard up to these days?
Look, I think it's time for one of our favorite segments on this show, Tom's IMDb Corner. Let's see what Dax Shepard has been doing since Parenthood went off the air.
I'll figure something out after we're done recording. What has Dax Shepard been up to?
Movies by Alien Ant Farm.
No! I know what it's going to be. Take Me to the Movies by Bangs.
Yes! Oh, I forgot about my boy Bangs.
How can you ever forget about that song? It's so good.
It's your boy Bangs.
Okay, what has Dax Shepard been up to since Parenthood ended in 2011, 2012? That's a show that needs to come.
Well, he was in Without a Pedal in 2004.
Okay, that was before Parenthood started.
Okay, he was in Wet Hot American Summer 10 years later, which I have not seen yet.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good.
He was in El Camino Christmas. He was in...
sounds like another movie we need to watch.
She was in a video short for one of Sia's Christmas songs that she did this year.
That's weird. Did he wear the wig?
Yeah, he did. He, danced around and wore the wig. He was on an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He was in Parenthood, which ended in 2015.
Oh, Jesus.
He was in a movie called The Boss. He was in a TV series called Terrific Trucks.
What are these projects?
He was in the movie adaptation of popular 80s television show Chips.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
With Vincent D'Onofrio and Michael Pena.
Yeah. What a weird movie for all those people to be in.
It doesn't really make a lot of sense that movie exists. Let's see who else is in this movie.
I would be like, that sounds like a movie I definitely want to see. All those people are great actors. And, I've seen them on screen. That is not a movie I ever want to watch.
There's a lot of people in here that I like that shouldn't have had... I mean, good that they got paychecks, but, Adam Brody's in this. I like Adam Brody. Isaiah Whitlock Jr., who's the guy that played Clay Davis on The Wire. He's good. Ryan Hansen from Party Down. Jane Kaczmarek, who's the mom from Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah. Ryan Hansen has some new thing coming out.
Justin Chatwin, who's the guy that played Goku in the Dragon Ball Evolution movie.
Oh my god.
Also, I think he's on Shameless, but I will always know him as Goku.
Do you watch Shameless?
No, I don't. I just know he's on it because I saw it and I was like, oh, isn't that the guy that played Goku? Somebody mentioned it because him and, what's her name that played Bulma in that?
I don't remember anything about that movie.
She's significantly more famous than he is, and I can't remember her name.
The only thing I remember about Dragon Ball Evolution is that we went there with some friends from high school and made fun of the whole movie because it was us and two or three other people far away from us who were
in the front and were also making fun of the movie.
And the usher came up to us and said, "You guys, I know this movie is bad, but there are some people here who are trying to enjoy it." And we all look around like, who?
Who? Like, who are you talking about? The other guys are also roasting this movie.
Yeah. Hey guys, come up here and roast this movie with us. Anyway, so The Miz heads back into work, and promptly gets fired, and then he tries to argue with the boss and says, I bought a house I can't afford. And then another great line in this hilarious comedy, his boss says, that was dumb.
Yeah, that's one of those things where the jokes aren't very good, but the guy's delivery kind of sells it a little bit.
I mean, that's part of the joke.
Yeah, I did kind of like the concept of him getting fired, which was they're, like, bragging about being sharks, because he just, you know, laid down the law with this place they're going to foreclose on, and then his boss is like, yeah, by the way, you're fired, because this other guy is, like, a real big shark, and he said that he could do both of your jobs, so you're out of here.
Yeah, I mean, I can't blame him for that. You gotta run a business well. Gotta fire
some people. Also missed the part where he, like, said mean things to people at work.
Oh,
and then whenever
he
left, they would always just go, jerk.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't already know how they felt about it.
Well, they really have to establish that this character is a bad dude.
I just really was disappointed when the guy calls security, the Miz, breaks his glass table, and then he's like, don't touch my Super Bowl signed football. And I wish that he had had to say, like, don't touch my big game signed football.
Yeah. I also like that he called it a Super Bowl signed, like the Super Bowl itself signed the ball.
Yeah, this was signed by all of the people that organized the Super Bowl. I don't even care about the players.
I just love a good event. So then the Miz goes home where his girlfriend leaves him, and then this dude walks up to him and asks him to sign something, and he does. And then that guy tows his car. And that's a really funny bit also. Because it's like...
Yeah, he says that him and the car are in love.
Right.
He can deal with the girlfriend leaving him, yeah. But not not the car.
Look, there's plenty of fish in the sea. Fewer cars.
It's a good point.
Yeah. So he goes back to the youth center and yells at it.
That was pretty good.
I thought that was a pretty good scene. My question
is... a disheveled-looking Miz screaming at a youth center. This would be a better movie if he just immediately got arrested while this was happening.
My question is, how did he get there?
I don't know, man. Maybe he walked. He looked like he was in pretty rough shape. Maybe he just walked over.
Yeah. We also don't know how far it is from his house, so...
He's yelling at it, and you see Santa, and then you see Santa get on the phone, and then you see her, woo!
and
the Miz gets arrested.
There's a crazy man here.
And then the movie ends.
So, the Santa who was there earlier is still there, and it's obvious at this point that...
Tim Allen's The Santa Claus is there.
There's a DVD of Tim Allen's The Santa Claus. he's the real Santa, it's obvious at this point, and he tells the Miz, it's never too late to be the person you're supposed to be, and the Miz, thinks that it's a lame saying, he's like, put it in a book, or whatever.
Yeah, he's like, put it in a self-help book called False Hope from Fake Santa, is what he says.
He titles Santa's, hypothetical book, Fake Santas and False Hopes, which I thought was very funny for a reason that was not intended by the writer of this film, but the fact that we watched it this week was really funny to me because this week's episode of Champs vs. Stars was called Flagpoles and False Hopes.
Also starring The Miz.
Yeah. I loved that coincidence.
I like that Santa was like, they couldn't just have him leave on that line, but Santa had to be like, never heard that one before. We're like, that's a new one.
That's
good.
That's good. So then we cut to the North
Pole. Boy,
so we cut to the North Pole where Annalyn McCord is helping Santa exercise, and he tells her that he's...
I hated these North Pole scenes so much.
The North Pole is a magic place. Are you upset that they didn't have a sexy, androgynous teen elf there showing him around? Like in Tim Allen's The Santa Claus?
I was gonna say, I was like, I don't know what you're referring to.
Don't you remember that elf? People love that elf.
The only elf that I can think of in that was the guy from 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, maybe it's the same guy. I don't know. I just know that people
The guy that isn't Oscar Isaac.
Oscar Isaac is in 10 Things I Hate About You?
No, he's not. It's just this guy. They have kind of similar faces. Mm. He's the guy from Numbers. You remember the CBS show Numbers, right?
I do remember
right?
the CBS show Numbers.
He was also on Master of None. I think he plays Aziz's like cousin or something, or brother-in-law. Oh. I can't remember what the fuck.
I honestly don't even know who we're talking about or what program we're talking about anymore.
I can't believe... Well, it's time for a return to Tom's IMDb corner.
Yes, two and one episodes.
We're going to get an answer to this. Look, play that... Roll that theme music again.
This is what happens when we're between seasons.
Look, there's nothing to talk about, and I would love to talk about anything but this movie, so...
Miz is the reason for the season. That's what we're saying here. So while you're looking up this IMDb, whoever you're looking up, I don't even know anymore.
It's not Joseph Gordon-Levitt, it's David Krumholtz. That's who it is.
Okay, I'm so glad you looked that up. I'm really glad we star got to the bottom.
Star of the CBS show Numbers.
Looking up the cast for CBS's Numbers.
I looked up the cast of 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah, but that was
I knew he was in that movie.
That was related to the movie. Okay. So Santa is looking for a new ho-ho-ho. Who is Santa's second in command, apparently. And they mentioned what...
Oh, wait, one more Oscar, one more Oscar Isaac connection. Him and David Krumholtz were both in Hail Caesar as...
Oh, yeah, it's a good movie.
As communists.
Yeah. Hey, that's a Star Wars prequel, Hail Caesar. You got Oscar Isaac, you got the guy who's going to be the new Han Solo.
Yeah, yep.
And there's probably some other people who have been in both. Anyway... here's another great line from the movie Santa's Little Helper. He says that he's looking for somebody... Santa says he's looking for somebody with the distribution genius of Amazon. It's pretty good. So then Santa gives Annalyn McCord a magic bell from the North Pole and sends her on a mission to see if the Miz is the right person for the job. And then this is where your favorite character comes in, Fitz or Fritz or... unnecessary character name.
This good character that I like.
He's really good.
Real fucking jokester.
He is in charge of transporting elves around the world. And so he transports Annalyn McCord to L.A., I guess, or wherever the Miz is. And then after the transporter sends Annalyn McCord to the Miz, Paige comes in and tries to find out where he has sent Annalyn McCord, because... she is also in the running to become the next ho-ho-ho. I don't know what that stands for. I think it's an abbreviation, not an abbreviation.
An acronym?
Acronym, yeah, that's the word. They said it one time, and I didn't care enough to rewind it and figure it out. So it's just ho-ho-ho, whatever that title means. So the Fritz boy doesn't want to tell her because it's against the rules. So then it's implied that she, like, seduces him. Yeah, so that happens. Annalyn McCord goes to the Miz's house and meets him there. She tells him that she is a headhunter for this new job, but can't tell him who it's for or what it is. His first task is to go into a biker bar and tell them that he hit one of their bikes and get out. With a peaceful
doesn't he make a joke that he's like, because she's like, oh, it's, yeah, like, I guess you could say it's someone famous, and he's like, oh, it's for Donald Trump, right?
Yeah, he made a Trump joke, which was pretty good, because he was not president when this movie came out.
I also like that they stole the joke from Parks and Rec about the famous client that Tom keeps trying to guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I kind of forgot about that. It's another show that kind of brings back. I'm gonna, from here on out, I'm going to try very hard to not reference any other TV shows or movies that you can look up the cast to. So Annalyn McCord makes the Miz wear a stupid hat to embarrass him, and then he goes in and tells the bike.
Well, he has to say he hit one of their bikes,
yeah,
right?
I mentioned that already. You were reading about Oscar Isaac on IMDb.
David Krumholtz. Like I said, it's easy to mix them up.
Whichever. So he tells them that he hit one of their bikes, and one of the bikers says, "Shut up, weird hat." I thought that was a funny line.
Get wrecked, miss.
Shut up, weird hat. If I ever go to a WWE event and I'm close enough to the ring that the wrestlers can hear me, I'm going to yell, "Shut up, weird hat," at the Miz.
I'm sure he'll appreciate it.
Yeah, he'll be like, "Oh, you saw that movie. Like, life's greatest work."
This was probably the funniest scene in the movie, just because, like, the slapsticky bar fight.
Yeah, so the bikers begin beating up the Miz, and then Annalyn McCord comes in and stops time by ringing her North Pole bell, and then brings the Miz back to his house. So that...
Oh, you just skipped over a lot of details, which is that the Miz keeps, ducking out of the way and, like, trying not to fight, but then they keep, like, the bikers keep hitting each other. Mm-hmm. Also, he breaks a pool cue over a guy's head, and it doesn't hurt the guy, and then also Maurice shows up and punches him in the face.
Yeah, she's the, what is it? The, bartender. I don't know why I forgot the word bartender.
What is that? They tend the bar.
Yeah.
It's on the tip of my tongue, I can't remember.
Like, the person behind the bar...
If only I had time to go to IMDb for this so we could look up what her role was.
Job MDB. That was a bad joke. So then, Annalyn McCord...
Internet movie data bartender.
Annalyn McCord brings the Miz back to his house, and he's like, "Wait, how did I get here? How did I get out of that bar?"
So the second scene of the Miz holding a bag of peas to his forehead.
Oh yeah, that's a good running gag, too. You know, Gil Younger loves those running bits.
He does.
Yeah. So then she brings him to his next test, where he has to dress like a monkey at a kid's birthday party. Probably the best scene in the whole movie. Also, he's the entertainment in this monkey costume, which is apparently a character all the kids know. But then he's also apparently the waiter at this, like, pizza parlor.
It's supposed to be like a Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah.
Charles Entertainment Cheese.
Yeah, he's the Charles Entertainment Cheese of this establishment.
Yeah.
Or the Showbiz Pizza Bear.
Showmiz Pizza Bear.
Oh my god, you're right. He's the Showmiz Pizza Bear.
So, he gets really frustrated with all the kids and smashes the kid whose birthday party it is. He smashes his face in his cake, and then everybody, like, stares at him and is like, "Oh, fuck. Oh, fart. I farted all over my cancer."
Hey, we're not talking about that very good Ryan Reynolds movie.
School of Life. That came onto my screen while I was surfing Wikipedia, and I was like, "Oh my god, this is that movie." That's another movie we gotta watch. Can we figure out a way to make it seem... Can we figure out a reason to watch School of Life and, like, relate it to Survivor or The Challenge in some way?
Well, you know, in Survivor, fire represents your life.
Yep.
Much the way that the school represents Ryan Reynolds' life.
I don't think that's strong enough. I don't... Like, what... We're stretching this concept pretty thin watching this movie. I don't think that we can do.
I would definitely welcome this, because I would much rather watch a bad movie that's trying to be sincere versus a bad movie that's, like, trying to be funny.
Well, I mean, you don't have to worry about that, because we watched a very good, fun, family friendly comedy starring The Miz.
Because that's
Miz,
like,
called Santa for Albert.
Because, like, I can enjoy watching, like, a Hallmark Christmas movie, because they're, like, achingly sincere, and they're very easy to make fun of because they're incredibly stupid.
Right.
But, like, this is just, like...
Just so
ha-ha,
funny.
Like,
so funny you forgot
jokes,
to
guys.
Laugh.
Yeah, that's how you... That's a hallmark of a good comedy.
Yeah. So he spent...
I just applauded politely after every joke.
Well done. So... The Miz smashes this kid's face in some cake, but then he plays it off as a food fight or something. And everybody's like, "Yay, food fight." And then, secretly, Paige is spying on him. And then she and Anna Lynn McCord have a run-in, and Anna Lynn McCord says, nothing in the rules says he can't be ho-ho-ho, which I wrote down because that's a line from Air Bud. Another great film.
And then, yeah, this was another opportunity for Paige to hit Anna Lynn McCord with a fucking cradle DDT, and she didn't do it.
Well, you know, it's called building up to a climax, and that's exactly what they're doing. This film is great. It was written by William Shakespeare. Gil Younger only directs movies written by Shakespeare. That's a fact.
Well, you can tell that because it's a comedy, because everyone... It's a Shakespearean comedy because there's several weddings at the end of it.
For his third test, The Miz has to go to a retirement home and get them to exercise.
This was the worst scene in the movie.
I would agree. My thinking is he... What do any of these tests have to do with anything? Like, they never set out
what they were
looking for. So it's just like, what a weird place for The Miz to be.
Well, the reveal of the movie sort of... You know, the end of the movie sort of shed some light on this,
I suppose, but...
Basically, the test is for Anna Lynn McCord to put up with him.
Yeah.
And be patient with him through this.
I feel like Santa should have been like, we need somebody with hustle. We need somebody with loyalty. We need somebody with respect. And Anna Lynn McCord...
We need someone who will respect these old people and these shitty children at their birthday parties.
Yeah. So he... is, like, not into the idea. But then he does finally get into teaching them how to exercise. And this was a really good joke. I think it was fairly subtle for this movie. he's wearing sweatpants, and then when he decides to exercise with them, he tears them off. They're tearaway pants. But after tearing away his sweatpants, it reveals that he's just wearing jeans underneath.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
So funny.
That's a good visual gag.
Yeah. So he convinces all the old folks to exercise with him, and that's great. And then he and Anna Lynn McCord go back to his house, and
Anna Lynn McCord's starting to catch feelings.
Yeah, good for her, I guess. Like, obviously, that's going to happen.
Sorry, he's already taken by that bartender that punched him in the face. Dax the Axe is spoken for.
As is Dax Shepard. Bark up a different tree, Anna Lynn McCord. So she finally tells him that the job is for Santa's little helper, and he says, the Simpsons dog? Another good job. See, Thomas, this
glad
is
he said. Glad he said what we're all thinking.
Very funny. And then he gets upset or something, so she uses the bell to wrap up the Miz in wrapping paper so he can't escape or something.
Yeah, because, like, in everything like this, he, like, comically doesn't believe her. He's like, oh, there's gonna be, you know, what is it, the Tooth Fairy doing for, you know, like, what, any line like that. I don't remember what the actual lines were, but he was very incredulous.
I was taking notes while watching this movie, and I don't even remember what the line was that one.
Oh, who's your CFO, the Easter Bunny?
Oh, that's good.
Like, that's I don't think that's an actual line from it. That was just one I came up with.
It was not far off, I don't think. So then Santa appears in the house, and gives her advice or something. I don't remember why he showed up. But then there's a flashback, and the Miz, young the Miz, played by Dax Shepard, is accused of stealing money from the youth center.
Also, young the Miz was also one of the better actors in this movie. I was like, yeah, he kind of sold this.
I thought they did a very good job with this scene.
Also, the casting was good.
Yeah.
With Dax Shepard as young Miz.
Dax Shepard. I mean, yeah, it's not surprising that you would say he's the best actor in the movie because he was great on Parenthood.
But no, the casting was actually pretty good. Like, it was like, oh, that does actually look like a younger version of the Miz.
I also thought whoever was in charge of, like, costumes and hair and whatever did a really good job with, like, them dressing like they were in the late 90s. Like, with the middle part hair and the turtleneck and everything else he was wearing.
Yeah, they did there was an attention to detail that, you would have easily forgiven them for not having in this movie.
It totally makes sense why the...
They all could have been wearing, like, fucking Jake Paul shirts. And it would have been like, you know, whatever.
They're wearing modern-day The Miz shirts.
Yeah, they were wearing... he was wearing a shirt. He's like, this is my favorite superstar, The Miz.
It makes sense that the costumes are the best in the 90s portion of the movie, because Gil Younger made a great movie in the 90s about teens.
That's
in
a
the
good
90s.
Point.
He's like,
he knows how they. He knows how 90s teens dress.
Nothing has changed in 20 years. So the director, because they're putting on a play, the director tells him that he is actually the one who stole the money, and he says, "I've seen punks like you come and go. You'll never amount to anything. Life is full of disappointment. Get used to it." Matt stuck with The Miz, and he said it to another child later. So in 20 years...
You can tell that that really stuck with him, because he said it to someone else.
It's not just a coincidence. I'm so excited for Santa's Little Helper 2, when The Miz is Santa now, and then he sends his Annalyn McCord to go save this kid, who is now like an investment banker or whatever The Miz's job was.
I also like the really dumb and unnecessary scene where it was like, if this hadn't happened to you, you would have been an actor.
I was just about to bring that
up. Married.
Yeah. So now they're back in modern times in the youth center. Like, I don't know how they got there again. But Santa tells him, had the director not accused him of stealing that money, he would have become an astronaut with a wife and two kids. He also would have found the cure for the common cold, and also he would have been a greeter at a fashion store.
Yeah, I don't know.
Any one of those things would have been enough. Like, oh, you're an astronaut. That's really cool. You also have a wife and two kids. Okay, that makes sense. You also would have found the common cold cure. Like, you need to go on a different job path if you're going to do that. And then also you were the greeter at a fashion store. Again, a totally different job path.
Kind of slumming it, but okay.
Yeah. Maybe Santa...
We all got to pay the bills. Maybe, I'm not hating.
Maybe Santa was making fun of him?
I don't know. Probably.
So Santa finally offers him the job and brings him to the North Pole. And as they begin the ceremony to swear him in, Paige interrupts and says that the rules state that anyone can object to the nomination and challenge the person being nominated to anything competitive. Which...
That's...
Okay.
Well, also, if you challenge them to anything competitive, why do you pick the thing that you picked?
Right. Well, because I thought they were getting at they're going to wrestle... Since they're both wrestlers and this is a movie.
Yeah, we were
going to
have like an intergender wrestling match.
Yeah.
And then Paige would finally hit someone with a goddamn cradle DDT.
Right. I thought it was like they were just pushing that. I was like, I guess if you have to, this is going to work. Because they do that all the time with like the Scooby-Doo animated movies and stuff. They like find a reason for them to fight. They didn't do that.
I mean, yeah, they had Maurice in this movie just to punch him in the face. So.
Yeah. No, instead, if wrestling, she challenges him to an obstacle, like, ropes course. Okay.
Which The Miz is afraid of heights, correct?
Was that part of it?
I think so. I think that's why he wasn't very good at it.
I might have been distracted. They also push that Paige is, like, so good at this obstacle course and no one has ever beat her. But then The Miz is, like, laying next to her the entire time.
Looks like a person doing it.
Yeah. Maybe it's, like, in, the second Bill and Ted's, where it's like, nobody's ever beaten
her. Oh, where just no one has ever actually challenged her at it.
Yeah, exactly. So all the townsfolk gather in the, like, living room of Santa's Lodge and watch it on TV, and they're gathered in there, like, the cast of Are You the One is gathered in their living room when they're, like, watching the results of a truth booth come in. Which I found...
Santa turns around, just like, no beams.
By Terrence J., Santa Claus is the new host of Are You the One? So they battle it out on the ropes course, and Paige wins. And then The Miz goes back home to California with Annalyn McCord's North Pole bell. Then, as the youth center is about to be torn down, the Miz, using the bell, brings the director who had framed him 20 years previous, and then he gets arrested. The Miz is just like, this guy's the one been stealing the money, and the cops that are there are just like, sounds good, you're going to jail, bud.
Well, the other person verified it. The lady that, again, is how you get someone arrested, is have one other person be like, yeah, he did. It's like the scene in The Room where they stop Chris R, and you hear Johnny go, let's take him to the police, and then he comes back like 30 seconds later.
The police are not very good.
He's getting, and says he's going to jail now.
The Miz makes an impassioned speech, and all the protesters join him in front of the youth center. And then Santa is there, and he makes snow in Southern California. It's great. And then Santa and Mrs. Claus point out another rule, stating that each competitor must show good sportsmanship, which Paige did not do. Also, apparently Paige is there now, too, and so is Annalyn McCord. They all just decided to join him, I guess. So Santa offers the position to Annalyn McCord, and the Miz is like, was this your plan all along, Santa? And he's like, I'll never tell. So she accepts the job, and then she and the Miz kiss, and then that's the end. We're done talking about this movie, Thomas. Are you happy?
What would you give this movie out of 10?
Oh, fucking 100. 100 jolly ho-ho-hos. I'm gonna say the word ho like Santa Claus for how many stars I'd give it. How many was that? That was out of 10. It was probably like 23 or so. It's pretty good.
Yeah, something like that. Movie. I give it a 3 out of 10.
A ho ho ho.
Ho 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 out of 10. I give it 3 lumps of coal.
That's fitting. That makes sense. Do you want to talk about another Miz product that I watched this week?
Sure.
Okay. So the champs won the game again. They've won every single challenge at this point. This is Champs versus Stars. I feel like anybody listening to this already knew that, but the champs won. They've won every challenge. Since they gave MVP last week to Wes without consulting Bananas decides himself, without consulting anyone else on the team, who the MVP this week should be, and picks CT, even though it's a female elimination week. He's just like a really cool, good dude, and everybody loves him because he's so charming.
I love Bananas. He's great, he's so, and I don't hate him, so good. And I don't wish that he would die.
So charming and funny, and like always looking out for the little guy. Did you know that he's looking out for the little... It's very important that you know that he's looking out for the little guy because he's a good person. Okay?
He's... it's not about him.
It's not about him, Johnny Bananas.
He just likes to give back.
Yeah. What happened? The Stars team contemplates sending Olympic silver medalist Kim Glass into elimination because they want to win the final if it's an individual game. Okay, fine. The champs send Anissa, and the Stars send UFC fighter Michelle Watterson. And then the elimination is basically a cage match. They have to grab a rope and then climb out of a gigantic cage. You will not be surprised to learn that Michelle Watterson beat Anissa.
How easily did she beat her?
You know what? I was talking to my roommate while I was watching it, so I couldn't really tell, but I imagine pretty easily.
Yeah, that's bad luck for Anissa.
Yeah, luck. Yeah, they gave the wrestler a wrestling match. Well, they gave the 6-foot-tall woman who was going up against the 4-foot-tall woman a height challenge.
Yeah. You just got the wrong challenge.
Yeah. It's, what is this? Survivor Triple H? Produces hand much?
Ho! Yeah, but then Anissa found an immunity.
Okay, so that's this week on Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? Hey, we came in about our usual time. That's good. Next week, do you want to watch the premiere of the Challenge Vendettas?
Yeah, let's do it. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I don't have high hopes. I had high hopes for Triple X. Turned out that season was real bad. I had high hopes for Invasion. That season was decent. So decent is as much as we can hope for. Champs versus Pros was fun.
I just want to watch something I don't hate.
Ooh,
like that. That's really all I'm looking for.
Well, we'll see about that. Yeah, so the Challenge Vendettas starts Tuesday, I think. Because, you know...
Well, before... You know, we're looking for things in threes. You know, we and we're ending Triple H.
Yep.
I think it's time for a third IMDb corner.
Oh, okay. Yep.
A third and final IMDb corner.
You can't use it again this episode.
No, this is the last one, so I'm going to make it count.
Okay.
You're
looking up the cast of the Challenge Vendettas?
Yeah, this guy, his recent work has been the narrator on several Deadliest Catch series.
I know what you're doing.
He is the narrator for Baron Siegel.
Survivor. We want to get John Cena on Survivor.
He's the narrator for Airplane Repo.
Follow me on Twitter, Jake Scheidel.
He was on one episode of Last Man Standing, starring Tim Allen.
What's your Twitter? Thomas, you should tell people your Twitter and stop talking.
He played Mike on Down and Dirty.
Oh, interesting.
Did they have a sitcom for him?
I don't know and I don't care. Thomas' Twitter is
cleaning up. His tagline for this is cleaning up after Oh, is a dirty job. What was this on?
God damn it. You're so fucking stupid.
I cannot believe this.
I will ask you after we're done recording because I don't want to talk about this anymore. But I am curious.
You can follow me at TomNotTom on Twitter. Important news. The Year Before is back.
It's back,
we
baby.
We just released... We're doing shorter ones. All of the... For the Year Before segments that we do, we're releasing each one individually, so we're not releasing, like, an hour of content at a time. Mm-hmm. And we're also doing some In Theaters Now reviews. We just released one of my roommate, Patrick Colehouse, and my friend Ethan talking about Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Hmm.
I think the next one we're going to cover is the Liam Neeson Commuter movie, which I'm very excited about.
You know, that movie... I hear ads for
it. Looks fucking great.
The only thing I know about it is that there's an ad on Spotify that will be like, listen to 2017's best music, and then at the end of that, they say, The Commuter, starring Liam Neeson. And that's all the information.
No, it looks good.
Okay.
I liked Nonstop, and this looks like maybe a better Nonstop.
Okay.
Like a less silly Nonstop, so I'm into it.
Okay. Cool. So that's another movie that...
Oh, also, one more plug. Okay. I made my second appearance on the Real Cool Time podcast, which is very good, and you should follow that Twitter account at RealCoolTime69. We talk about things that are cool. We talk about riffs. We talk about thick jacked frames. Just good stuff.
Okay, I was on a podcast recently. Oh, did we talk about this already? We might have.
I think you were talking about the Survivor thing before we started recording.
The Survivor thing is this podcast. I was on another podcast.
The Lost thing.
I was on a podcast called Get Lost with Colin Bullock. That episode will be out in the next couple of weeks, so subscribe to that. It updates about once every 6 months. It's a weekly show. Can find us on Facebook. Did you watch Survivor last night? I guess the cast photos aren't up yet. That's the thing. In the off season, I have to update all our like cover photos and logos and everything. That's not something I need to bring up on the recording. Anyway. We've got the next couple...
Have a great new year!
Yeah, we've got the next couple weeks planned out for what we're going to cover on this show. But if you've got other ideas, we've still got about a month and a half that we need to figure something out for. So email us, didyouwatchlastnight@gmail.com. If you've got any ideas for us, we'd love to hear them. And then sign it off, your pal Jeff Probst. Sign it off? Who's... What?
Yeah, you have to say, this is your pal Jeff Probst, signing off.
Shoot us a review on iTunes podcast, or Apple, it's called Apple Podcast now, I think. You know what it is.
Yeah. All 5 stars.
5 stars for all our good bits. And, yeah, have a great 2018. 2018? Has anyone said that yet?
Hey, deuces 18. Let's get ready, baby.
Tahoe, or a Christmas song slow.